This is the PubRight Podcast, a service of the Arbortex community.
Good morning and welcome to the PubRight Podcast. Today I have Regina Roman. Regina has a long and interesting history for our listeners today. She is a framemaker expert for as long as anyone can count, and one of the best. And she's done several XML projects as well. Hi, Regina. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Do you want to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a technical writer. I have my own, I'm incorporated. I did that some years ago. So I'm under the name Romanco LLC. And I do technical documentation projects primarily in the Bay Area, primarily for networking companies, but have also done other smaller projects for different industries like finance and the music industry.
Music industry? That sounds cool.
Yeah.
What'd you do for them?
I did a project for a small company in Los Altos called Freehand, and they had something that it was like a tablet that musicians used to download their music on.
Wow.
And then they could actually mark up the scores that they download, and then they could network that music out to other people, say in an orchestra. It was a really interesting project. So kind of do a lot of different things. I've worked for small startups that didn't have anything at all, no tech pub shop at all. I've worked for really big companies that, have thousands of employees and have very specialized pub departments with lots and lots of processes. And I've worked on teams where I've done a chunk of the work for a release, and then I've managed all the documentation for the release of new products at other places. So just really done all kinds of different projects, had the opportunity to do a lot of different things.
It gives you a good perspective, especially talking about tool sets.
Oh, indeed.
So when did you do your first XML project? I can't remember what year that was now.
I guess it's been maybe 4 years ago.
About 2006, 2005?
Yeah. I helped a company. They actually had a legacy doc set, Juniper Networks. They had their Juno software documentation. The first thing that had to be done there was that they converted their frame files over to XML files, and that was primarily done, they outsourced that for the most part. But there was a lot of cleanup, and then for those books then, the new features started getting added in XML. I was only in that group for a short time when I moved to another group at Juniper Networks who decided that all their documentation for a fresh new product, the EX series switch, was going to be all done in topic-based, or was going to be done in topics, what they called topic-based authoring. And it was all going to be done in Epic, in XML. So it was really exciting to work on that project because we had to work with a tool team to help develop the templates, test the templates, and it was sort of also a new way of thinking as far as breaking down little pieces of information and then stringing them into in the organization for people to find what they needed quickly.
And for everybody listening, Epic is the earlier incarnation name of Arbortext Editor. So you were on that project. That project gotten a lot of attention in the last year. Rajal showed it to our audience in October of 2009. What was that like going to topic-based authoring and an XML editor like Arbortext from the history that you had with FrameMaker? Because you've been a tech writer, you're a senior tech writer. You have a lot of experience.
Yeah. I actually started off in tech writing using Bookmaster.
Oh my gosh.
which is really a long time ago. So when we actually got FrameMaker, everybody just thought it was the greatest thing that you could leave going tag-based writing, and you could just go into FrameMaker, and it was WYSIWYG, and everybody was so excited and thrilled about it. So truly, most people were not very thrilled to lose that functionality of being able to see everything on the page and the layout. And moving to Epic, frankly, I think the fact that I had this Bookmaster experience was, helping me a lot. Because with Bookmaster, you write in, basically a text file with tags, and then it uploads to mainframe, and then it spits out your beautifully formatted documentation.
So you've been through that separation of form and content before.
I had been through it before, although it had been a really long time. I actually found that leaving the formatting again was really helpful because I think you get a little bit caught up in the formatting and not so much, I'm not going to say not so much in the content, but the formatting can be distracting, I think, in FrameMaker. Whereas I find that when I'm really writing text and I'm just putting it in between two markers, then I'm really focused on the content, which everybody wants their content to be accurate. That's really the whole push behind technical documentation. It has to be accurate. So I found that not dealing with FrameMaker crashing and not dealing with, what tag is going to look right. All that's really laid out ahead of time. You have a FrameMaker, or you have a template in ArborText, and you're really just putting in the content that you need.
Right. So when you say template, what were they? It sounds like they were doing more than just giving you a blank slate to write with. What were they doing?
Well, they actually had an information specialist come in and help discuss the types of information that would be available in certain topics. And then they created tags for those specific pieces of information in the template. So you would have, an intro tag. You would have a body tag that you could put in, paragraph tags, or a list tag that would flag the start of a bulleted list or a numbered list, and so forth. So they sort of created the tags that would go in there, and they when you open up a template, it actually has some of this information already there, along with comments. This is used. This object is used for this type of text. So it was really helpful. I think there had to be some changes made to the templates as we went along, and we realized that they didn't really fulfill the objective. So then the tools team could make changes to the template, and then the writers could pick up new templates and use the new changes.
Cool. I think I know what you're talking about. In ArborText Editor, those are called tag templates, and they sort of give you they sort of pre-populate a blank document with structure and maybe content and certainly comment instructions. That's really cool to see that they were doing that. How many kinds of templates did you guys have to work with?
Well, yeah, the tag templates were great. We probably had about a half dozen main ones that we used. We used templates for, say, an overview topic. We used a couple different tag templates for examples, depending on whether they were simpler or complex. We used templates for various tasks like configuration tasks or verification tasks that you would normally find in a configuration guide or user's guide. And then there are actually troubleshooting tag templates as well.
Sorry, I was on mute. That's incredible. How did it speed up your time to get started and get new topics written?
Well, I think at first, you know, we had to develop a process for actually using the tag templates. We had a tag templates, we were writing in them, and then as we were using them, the tools team was a step or two ahead of us trying to put in the other processes that were needed, like for printing the files that we would create, and for displaying them in usable HTML format. So, I would have to say that it was really a collaborative effort between the writing group at Juniper and the tools team to actually come up and develop these new processes. I think that what we found is that switching over from FrameMaker to Epic, I think at first people were a little hesitant because many of the people there were FrameMaker experts. They'd been using Frame for many years. But I think everybody found pretty quickly that using ArborText was a really easy transition once you got used to the fact that you were opening up, you know, let me back up a second. Sorry, Liz. We were actually authoring in these individual topics, and authors had to also get accustomed to the fact that they weren't authoring in a big book anymore.
Right.
So, you know, eventually what they did with these topics is they did put them up on a pathway page, so people could actually just go to a web page and click on a specific topic. But then they went a step further, and they actually recombined all the topics again into really what is a book format. They call them topic collections. Mm-hmm. But that satisfies people, readers that want to have a whole book to look at.
Right.
So they're actually able, by using ArborText, to offer the best of both worlds, people that just want to look at an individual topic on its own, print out an individual PDF if they wish, or people that want to go look at the whole book.
Wow, that's awesome. And I can tell our listeners that all of the Juniper documentation is available publicly on the web. There's no user and account required to see it. This is the EX series?
Yeah, it's the EX series. And I've also been doing another project the past year where I've been working with the MX series router group, and we've been doing some really good topic-based authoring. The engineers in that and EABU are just fabulous, and we've been able to put together some really complex examples in ArborText that's just, I mean, everybody's really pleased with making that transition from, you know, having a book to having a pathway page. It was, in the MX series case, it was their first experience last year to have, like, a pathway page that just had a single topic on it. Mm-hmm. What I wrote about was provider backbone bridging. And it was just so nice to have, the ability to create these individual topics, send them over to review, and then put them up on the pathway page. So,
wow.
It was really wonderful. They have a lot of support at Juniper for the writers to author in XML. They have regular XML, I guess, tool group meetings. They take
nice.
In information about how the writers are using ArborText and the changes that they can make to, you know, to either resolve problems that are cropping up or enhancements that they can add to their process.
Excellent. And there always was very collaborative between the writers and the tools people. And
yeah,
sure it makes a difference.
It needs to be that way. It's been really a great experience working over there with the tools team. They really encourage the writers to test the new features, and they gather the feedback that the writers have and they really try to do their best to make the environment as friendly to authoring as they can.
Oh, that's great to hear. What was it like transitioning to topic-based writing?
I didn't find it all that difficult. I think I think these are the sort of normal components that writers are already doing. I think it's a little bit trickier stringing together the cross-references to other topics. Mm. You don't want to just give people too many related topics from one topic to another. You want to give them the most logical topic that they're going to want to know about next.
Mm-hmm.
But the really nice thing about the topic-based authoring is that you could just create hot links to another topic, like a configuration statement or a command or an overview topic that might have traditionally been in a frame maker book, like, say, they would have all been separated by books, right?
Right.
And a lot of times it isn't that easy in frame maker, depending on where the books are located and how, you know, they're structured and everything. It's not that easy all the time to create a link, a hot link, from one book to the next book. But with topic-based authoring, you upload all the topics to the same location, and you can link to any other topic. It makes it so much easier to send readers to another location through a link instead of just sending them to, like, a reference that says, please see the configuration guide, and there's no link.
Right.
So I think it makes it much more helpful. The links can just be embedded into a regular hierarchy. You could actually just use the statement name as the link itself. So I think it's a lot better for customers to see the documentation. I think one of the interesting things, I hope I'm allowed to mention this, is that at a meeting a few weeks ago in pubs, they actually asked the tools team to check and see what kind of hits their documentation was getting. And it turns out those detailed examples that are part of the topic-based authoring, they're getting a lot of hits. I think that shows that we're kind of being successful with creating those detailed examples. And the fact that they're very visible on a pathway page as an individual topic instead of, you know, buried within like a 1,000-page configuration guide, I think that's saying something.
So, too, I was going to ask, what is the customer reaction? Do they pass that back to you?
Well, I got some customer reaction from the provider backbone bridging project. The people that were doing the beta said that they really liked the documentation. So I'm feeling really, you know, positive. I think every technical writer really wants to know that somebody out there is actually reading their book at the other end and that it's actually something that they can use.
Right.
We've all been involved in projects where we write and we don't get any feedback. But, you know, what we're hearing back, and it isn't just incidental feedback. I mean, Juniper did do a lot of research asking customers, what kind of things do you want to see in documentation? So the topic-based authoring is really delivering what the customers said they wanted. And it looks like it is actually what they wanted. They're actually using it.
That's what should be, really. That's what it's all about, right?
Exactly.
So, and it sounded the way you're describing, like, the cross-references in the topics, the standalones, it sounds less bookish, if that's the right way to say it, right? The command itself is the cross-reference that brings you to the other.
Yes, exactly. It's right there. You just have to click on it. There isn't something that says, for more information about the OSPF command, please see Crossref. Okay, we don't need to do that anymore. We can actually just drop in the Crossref by cross-referencing it to the title it has, and say in the case of a statement, it just is the name of the statement. So it fits perfectly in with hierarchies.
Wow.
And, it's really wonderful.
Yeah, I would say. Cool. I was just thinking of something that someone had said to me recently. They used to call all of that other text glue text. Programmers, we've always called it glue code, but so it kind of made a weird sense to me. You know, he's like, well, you know, you get rid of all that glue text, and what you're left is really pure, clean information, and it sounds like your customers are responding.
Yeah, they're actually able to go to just what they want to go look at versus having to go through a 50-page chapter to try to find that one thing that they were looking for. And I'm sure that every individual company would want to have their own process for how they do these things, but it is really nice that for the single topic that comes up onto a page, the person can click on the PDF if they want to have it as a PDF and save it, or they could go on to the other related topics. So, I mean, I think it's just a much more useful way to do documentation. Most people that are searching for something really do know, I think, specifically at least the area that they want to be in, the protocol area, and maybe what it is that they need. And they have a good search engine, too, at Juniper Network so that you can find topics quickly. I think the other thing, too, is that the way that they've organized the topics, it's easy to actually locate a topic if you're authoring. You can search on the topic file name, the ArborText file name, whatever it is, topic.xml. You can search on a topic ID number if you have that. You can search on the title of the topic. You can just do a text search. But the way they're organized internally, it's very easy. They put all the basically overview topics in an overview topics folder. They put all the examples in an example folder and so forth. Much easier for authors to find topics, I think, than trying to figure out, now, which book was that with?
Right, right.
Because as companies mature, they get larger and larger and larger doc sets. I mean, can you imagine finding something over at Cisco if you had to go find a book?
Well, so that's kind of leads to the next question. How is it for reuse and cross-referencing? You say it's easy to find because things are broken into pieces, and you've got the file name and the ID name. What kinds of other things are making it easier to write and connect your content and deliver it?
Well, a lot of the pieces can be reused. If you have a topic, I think also you have to start writing it in a bit more general fashion. And I think people have adopted to that. So instead of saying something like an overview topic about a technology that could be used across, say, different platforms at Juniper, instead of prefacing something by saying on MX series or on EX series, I think writers will eventually get to the point where they're not going to use that, but they'll instead use metadata to flag something as far as what platform it applies to in a company. The metadata can include all kinds of information. It'll have tags in it that let people know, I mean, basically this isn't visible to the customer, but visible to people internally that are looking at the topics themselves. It'll have a designation for the writer. It will have a designation for the software platform, a designation for the hardware platform, and so forth. So you could actually tag an XML topic with all this other information. If somebody can do a search then and they say they want to find out all the topics related to spanning tree on, say, the EX series, then that metadata will actually pop up those topics that the customer wants to see without there being within the body text of the topic itself call-outs to those platforms or those hardware or software platforms. that's really important to be able to reuse these pieces of information. It's the same applies for hardware. I think hardware was able to get around that faster because I think generically a lot of those hardware topics can be generalized quite easily to all the different, say, switches or routers in a group. So I think it was a little bit more difficult to do that with software, but I think these metadata tags are the path to get to where Juniper wants to go with that.
That don't know and are listening, the hardware docs were the first ones to go to XML from FrameMaker. It's a good story, Regina. It sounds like you've had a lot of fun and enjoyed the transition.
Oh yeah, I really like authoring now in ArborTech. The problem is I still have I still use FrameMaker. And I guess maybe I need to join your user group to figure out the question that I have, since I've been using ArborText in a really large company that has a lot of support, and they do a lot of things like, as far as behind the scenes work, but the authors basically have their templates and they do their job, and there's other things that actually make the XML files come out looking great at the other end. True?
This is true.
Yes.
And what they did at Juniper is they started looking at it in 2000, which was, long before Ditta had really come out very much. It certainly wasn't an OASIS standard until, I think, almost 2003 or 2004. And they had to get going. And we made a lot of decisions early on that I don't think anyone would make today. And, there are other things that in the product line now that they didn't exist at that time either.
Exactly. And so they went down a path that they started.
Yes.
And, I think they've come out with a great product at the end, but I think that, yes, if they had tools available to them right now, they'd make different choices probably to make it a little bit easier using ArborText
right.
for their group. Actually, not easier isn't the word, because I don't think easy comes into it. I think the authors have plenty of easy. I think it's more the level of support that the writers need using the process that they have.
Right.
So what would be good to learn from your user group is how do I, just do that at a small company so I can get rid of FrameMaker entirely.
Well, I'd love
tired
to hear
of
FrameMaker
that. Sporadically crashing on me, and honestly, I'm really used to writing in these individual files, and I find it easier to do that than building a book with Frame.
Well, as someone who's a big supporter of ArborText, I'm so thrilled to hear that, because I know you are one of the best FrameMaker users I ever knew, I think.
Well, thank you. But, I think Frame's time has come and gone. I don't feel like Frame's supported anymore, is it?
They keep coming out with versions.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't feel like it's truly being supported. I'd rather go with something that's being supported right now, obviously
right.
Something that's working really great.
Well, and we can certainly talk about it. I know that there are small shops, as few as two writers, who are doing ArborText publishing to HTML and PDF and going just fine. So it's not just for the big organizations, it is for some of the small ones. And there's variants of product choice.
So the thing with Frame is that you still have to really go by ePublisher, right? In order to convert your Frame files to something, like HTML output that people really want to put up on their web. So it's not just I don't think of FrameMaker as just this one tool that a writer needs in their toolkit. They're going to have Frame plus other things in order to deliver what the customer eventually wants.
That's true.
At the end. Yeah.
That's true of pretty much all of it, though, too. I mean, there are pieces to Arbortext that are easy or hard depending on the road you choose to go down. But I think the payoff is worth it. But that's, where we sit. So that's sort of the way it works for me. Wow, this has been great, Regina. I appreciate it. It's rare that we ever get to hear from a writer's perspective. We hear a lot from the Arbortext developers. We hear a lot from the implementers, like Rajal's team, the tools team that supported the writers at Juniper. And it's been really great to have a writer's perspective. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I don't think I would have been able to bend anybody's ear this long about a writing tool. So I'm glad that there was an audience for this.
Oh, absolutely.
The PubWrite podcast
it doesn't
is a
get
production
enough talk,
of Open
and
Sourcing Solutions in San
the writers
Jose,
are what it's all
California.
About. So
copyright 2009.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Single Sourcing
Thank you
Solutions.
Very much.